Very quickly, this is the table that usually shows up in the budget document, and it shows you how you get to what happens to the tax rates. Some people like to look at the property taxes by the amount. Some like to look at it by the rate. And the rate, the estimated property tax bill rate, will actually go down about 3.5% from 543 to 524 we have listed there. One thing I will point out is, you know, the budget is chugging along pretty well, and then just about a week ago, the state issued, put out a new number that actually tweaks how this works. So although we anticipated, and I already talked about, you know, we're always taking that net new growth allowance, we actually now have another $17,500 that could be included and still be within the levy limit, the net new growth, in addition to the $335,000 that you see there. So that's a good thing. If something else comes up, there is room to do it. It would have a nominal increase in these numbers. I think that 1.57 ends up going up to 1.60, you know, so 3/100. So, but there is room within the levy limit for an additional 17.5. Very quickly, I'm going to go through some of the other funds. In the general fund, we did slightly reduce the anticipated under expenditures. We do have in there a $500,000 transfer from the general fund to the capital improvement fund. If you recall your budget approval last year, you identified that $600,000 of our reserves should be used for and considered for security issues. Well, the City Hall project is, you know, chugging along now, and so we've made sure that we've got that money available, and we've set the appropriation in place so it can be made into the capital improvement fund for any security. And that impacts some of the budget. For example, the police chief had in his capital outlay request $100,000 for new cameras, replacement cameras. That's anticipated to be included in that $500,000. Exactly what it's for, still a package needs to put together, be brought back to the Common Council. Restricted contingency is reduced to $1.3 million. You know, that's what we keep as an emergency expenditure authority. We write the budget ordinance such that you have to have 4 votes to be able to use it. But it's also what we use to preserve all of our limit under the expenditure restraint program. And so we reserve all we can. If you see that difference, oh, why'd it drop? Last year we were $1.8 million, now we're $1.3 million. Why'd that drop? Well, look at the line above it. You have that transfer of $500,000 from the general fund. Budgeting that transfer creates the look of an expense in the fund. So the library fund, talked about earlier, they do their own budget, so we really focus on the revenue. They were provided $27,800 in property tax levy. That's the 2.1, which is about the level that we talked about as being that sustained level we want to keep them at, even though we've managed to stay under it by using some other revenues. And then we did give them some of the landfill siting fees so that it wasn't just a general fund. And it's a nominal amount. $20,000 doesn't sound like much, but given the size of their budget, you combine those two, and that's about a 3.5% of their total 2019 expenditure. So it is helpful to them. They've struggled, I believe, with the move to WRS, having some extra people participating. They've had a couple tough budget years from my perspective, and I felt it appropriate to recommend to the mayor. The mayor agreed that we should use some of that money on an ongoing basis for them as well. Solid Waste Collection Fund. That receives user fees and the landfill tipping fees and recycling grants. The mayor's recommended budget doesn't anticipate a user fee change. The council's recently started talking with Johns about some changes in that fund. So if you decide to move in that direction, this budget would need to be modified to include that. But there's still plenty of time to do that before a November adoption if you elect to do so. The Sanitary Sewer Fund, I think most of you know, the bulk of that is sort of a pass-through of the MMSD charges. Our final rates aren't really known until they notify us the first quarter of next year sometime. But it's probably worth noting that this fund does include a $3.2 million project in borrowing for the gravity flow sewer in the industrial park. And it's important when you look at this section, we recognize as staff that this is one area where there's additional review of the budget that will be needed to try and make sure that it's set where it has an operational surplus. So there'll be more information coming from staff during the budget process on this. So if you dig into that in detail, recognize we agree it needs another go-through.
MMSD did have their budget meeting, and the levy portion went up. I don't want to give you a number, but it went up moderately. And the rate base number went up a little bit more than moderately. So, as I recall, there was no discussion by the mayors. It's like, really?
So. Capital Outlay Fund. Departments requested about $1.9 million, which is 75% up from last year. So despite with some of the landfill siting money increasing our approvals to over $900,000, we've still only funded about 48% of what they've asked for. The demand simply remains strong for replacements in departments and for advancement in new technologies. I threw two examples up there. Information services continually has to address components of a network to meet, you know, CJIS federal requirements for police departments and just core communications infrastructure stuff. So we've drastically improved our security from where we were prior to hiring Jim. I appreciate the Common Council's consistent, you know, funding of some substantial programs, but your entire city runs on that backbone, and the kind of work we're doing is essential to make us a modern organization. In the budget, as a second example, last year we had 6 squad cars in the budget for $249,000, and this year for $258,000 it was only 4 squad cars. The cost has gone up. You see in the news, you know, the risk officers are at. You can no longer just buy a car and put a logo on the side and call it a squad car. And those costs are going up, you know. And so we've only, because of the demand, we've only been able to fund 3 of them this year. Luckily we had, or for next year, luckily we had 6 this year. But we're going to have to look at, If the cost has gone up 50% with the number of we have, how do we continue to be able to do it? What changes can be made? Can there be made any to that sort of the schedule, the rotation? If not, where do we find the money? So,
Chargers.
So with those expenditures, we do have a lower fund balance than we would necessarily prefer, and contingency is reduced to $60,000. But many of the requests seem very valid, and so we provide a pretty strong funding form. A list of all the items, as always, are in that section of the budget. Equipment replacement fund, 1 ambulance, 4 DPW vehicles. There's no tax levy in there. We continue to be underfunded if everything comes through. So that one's pretty straightforward. The vehicles are all listed in there if you want to look at them. Street Improvement Fund, again, you see some increases here in the amount of funding that goes to it, but it's still less than the engineering department says is necessary to fully fund it year on an ongoing basis. But there is $1.3 million appropriated, $200,000 of that is for the Rossin Homes repair, leaving about $1.1 million, which means of the 15 projects, priorities that engineering is listed, which are in the budget book, you're probably getting 13 of them, maybe 14. Prices will have to be really good to get all of them for that amount. The Capital Improvement Fund, For 2020, the planned project expenditures is $7.4 million. About $1.3 million is for various park projects. A lot of them are, you know, the land acquisitions, the trails. Not all of them are specific, but we need to make things pop next year. So we're continuing to move that park impact fee money. Because of its size, we did move the $225,000 Community Development Enterprise Resource Program. So Enterprise Resource Program is an ERP. That's the IT term for sort of a core piece of software to your organization. Basically, this is using aspects of BSNA for permitting and eliminating govern and being able to move forward and have a more integrated system between those.
They don't care.
It's pretty critical. The other things there, usually this, I'll jump ahead because usually this is one area that we spend some time on in your individual budget review. But there is no borrowing listed there for 2020 in the capital improvement plan. One thing I do want to stop and dwell on here, when we looked at the requests that we had roofs and parking lots, just a lot of stuff in the plan. And when I think about the last couple of years, you know, sort of, I don't want to say, you know, we had the City Hall project that ballooned over a period of years from 500,000. Everything was essential to now 1.7 million. You know, nowhere in there was the gun range where it pops up and it's 1.4 million. And we had a request for an essential DPW building for another 2 million for a year after now, with $100,000 now to design it. What this has led us to recognize that it's now time to do is invest the time and do a thorough, appropriate, multi-year CIP where we go in and we look at all of our roofs, parking lots, and buildings and HVAC systems and our park system needs, and we get it all structured out so there aren't surprises. $1.4 million expenditures shouldn't be a surprise. But we and, you know, you can point to me for that, you know, we haven't had the need for that to come up. We haven't had the time to do it. So it sat there on that list of things. We're going to need this someday. Well, time is now. So the intent would be to develop a process and probably have the first CIP out before the next budget so that it's debated separately and then it simply feeds into your annual budget process. I've used that structure in other organizations that I've been a part of, and larger ones, and it's worked very well. It separates that workload from the budget. Those questions are already resolved, and you can just deal with the ongoing operation stuff in your annual budget process. So that is part of this, and that's one of the reasons some of the capital improvement requests that maybe had some merit, we decided let's just push them all off another year so we can weigh them all against each other. Development fund impact fees, this story really hasn't changed. Revenue's about the same, a little bit up. You know, it supports the debt service fund if enough of it's collected. It anticipates that the park impact fees, $621,000, that's the amount supporting that $1.3 million if we spent it all that was in the CIP. So, probably the one thing that's a little different that looks in there, the sewer and water have their regular funding for oversizing, but there's an additional $525,000 for a land purchase for a new water tower.
Where are we on the study with the impact fees regarding, you know, parks collecting too much?
This budget piece was actually the last few meetings where I attended Park Commission to make sure they got out that list of changes was needed so that the Rueckert Milkey could update the project list. So now that I'm past tonight, I'll be transmitting this information with some expenditure history so they'll be able to take their next step. So they've been waiting for us to finish this budget review in the last
two meetings.
So
timetable and when it will come to us?
I don't have one, but I can try to work on one and get it back.
It's something we've been talking about for a while, and we're collecting money on developments, and we're collecting more than we need in certain areas, so the sooner the better, which we've talked about before pretty clearly.
All right. Which brings me back to my comment. We should try to find some money for an assistant.
We have $17,500 to start with.
A couple miscellaneous things. In the budget, you'll see our special revenue funds like Civic Celebration, St. Martin's. We budget for all the grants. Some of these things we didn't always identify specific budgets for in the past. We've been very diligent about making sure we have them all there. We will have a section for the Tourism Commission, but they're responsible for their own budget. But we want to make sure it gets reported, to the citizenry. And so we'll make sure it's in the document. Same thing with the water utility. The Board of Water Commissioners addresses that, but we'll make sure the information is included. Right now, there's nothing really in your budget book on that. The last piece then is the schedule. As I finish here, I'll pass out budget books, but the between now and September 30th, you're encouraged to contact any departments. On Monday, September 30th, is the Committee of the Whole meeting where we will review this. We anticipate the majority of department heads will be here to answer questions if you have them. If there's something specific you're looking for to have there or available for that meeting, please let us know either tonight or subsequently. And then in your packet, you can see the full calendar leading to a November 19th adoption.
Thank you, so levy increase was 1.57. Is that what the number was? Levy increase 1.57, and then if you include the 17.5, how does that change it?
1.605 is
with that.
Where you go?
And the tax rate was a minus
3.55.
3 1/3. Okay. In terms of the two chiefs, when will you have your proposal ready for us to meet with you one-on-one?
I have a proposal.
Both two.
For three or for two? So you're ready when we're ready to meet with you?
I really think you guys ought to meet with them and talk over.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to do it here at a committee of the whole. It's going to take forever, and we're all going to be.
But it'd be important for you guys to get the sense of where
That's what I'm asking. Okay. When are they going to be ready for it? So then can you send an email saying ready to go when you're ready to all of us? And then that way we can schedule time to meet. How soon? We only have 2 weeks.
If I can interject.
Well, let me just.
Plan for next week.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
One thing we did specifically in the budget was recognize we've got two questions here. That policy question of prioritization doesn't have to be answered for the budget itself, because we can put those appropriations in there. We've created a separate department, and we can move them wherever. So I don't think you absolutely have to decide the allocation within that budget. You have to decide it before they can hire them.
You may not need to, but if I'm going to vote on a tax levy increase, I want to be able to say where it's going in advance.
Fair enough.
So for you, that's fine. Here's just a bunch of money, and we're going to spend it some way, shape, or form. That doesn't sell very well in the general public. They want to know where the money's going. We already tried to ask for three police officers on a referendum question, and that didn't do so well. Marijuana did really well. Okay, that did really well in this community. Let's vote for marijuana. It passed 60-some%. Yeah, we couldn't get three officers. So very interesting. So I want to know where the money's going before I'm going to vote.
Your point's very well taken. That is why we created that public safety department, so that it was clear it was being allocated specifically for public safety. Right.
Okay.
Alderman Nelson.
Looking at this year's budget, is that right to say that roughly 81% of the budget went to staff? Because that's why I think I had in my notes from last year's vote that
That sounds about right.
Is that going to be consistent with the theme of next year's budget, or does it actually go down because we're looking at pulling more money from the tipping fees?
No, I don't think you'll see it go down because, we've identified, that you'll have the one ongoing public safety to provisional. You've got the heavy equipment operator. You've got the sanitarian, and we're anticipating that, you know, only having a 1.55% increase this year will not keep up.
So you think we're still going to be around that 81%?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least, yeah.
That's fine. Next one is employees leaving for pay. Are we getting this determination because we're learning that, or the department heads are learning that during exit interviews? Are department heads conducting exit interviews when employees are deciding to leave? Is that like in planning when they skadoot? Do they say, hey, I like the water here, but I got to go over there because they pay more? I mean, was that the common theme?
One person told me.
Okay.
Well, and that's in that department. I know we've had.
I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
nobody jumped up.
We have had some of that. We get a lot of that also from, you know, Dana trying to get people to take our jobs because she's the one who's giving those offer letters and who's having those conversations. And so, you know, we've, you know, had people. It's been a real impact. Building inspection is a good example where, you know, both potential losing people and getting new people, it's been a factor.
Dana does talk to people as they vamoose.
So, okay, as long as somebody's getting some information, it's, you know, tangible and real, not just...
Not everybody, but she does talk to as many as...
But it's still fair to call it anecdotal from my perspective, because you're still talking, you have a handful of people. You know, we don't have, you know, 35 people leave jobs a year where we get a, you know, a statistically significant number to be able to prove that that's the case. So, you know,
this common theme in feedback is I just wanted a little one. Well, yeah, Glenn, something good?
To the engineer.
I was just going to say, I mean, we had a DPW position. We offered it to four people before we got somebody to take it. So, and it was mentioned the benefits.
Benefit package was a big, okay. Thank you.
Joe, for anything else? Alderman Barb.
One of the things that I've been getting most of the summer is I've talked to Glenn about it a number of times, is the complaints about our park system and the streets being maintained and the trimmings and everything else that goes on. Is there anything in this budget that can clearly identify a corrective action that won't happen next year? And how does that begin to get addressed?
Well, since all of that really comes down to a productivity issue, I think the fact that I think three of those positions where we're funding the severance in advance so we don't have that productivity lost as highway, plus you're including a new heavy equipment operator. So, I think you can look at that specifically.
One or two? Sorry.
The thing is, everybody...
Use your mic. Mic.
You have to learn how to talk.
Sit forward.
Mic.
Everybody that talks to me and calls has said, this year seems to be a big problem. It has not been a problem in the past. It's been taken care of. But this year, it's a major issue. So I guess my concern is how do we correct that and not have that happen next year? Is there something that we need to do with that?
Did I just hear this just so you don't have to repeat yourself? Three positions where we had issues where we didn't fill, so they're vacant.
No, I'm saying that's right? What you're looking at in the 2020.
So that would be why it wouldn't happen by doing that. So that's one way of not doing it. And then add another body.
Well, one thing we need to look at is, you know, as you look at capital projects, letting the capital project bear the full weight of it. I'll give you an example. In one of the items you'll see funded in the capital outlay listing is $30,000 for landscaping around City Hall. You know, we've got bushes that are no longer viable for their size to make them look right. And you have so the exterior of the building, you have the berms. I could make that $10,000 and call DPW and say, hey, guess what? You guys are putting these in. Because they can do it, absolutely. But do I want to pay them their hourly rate to do it or pay a landscaper who's got people who are going to do it probably more proficiently because it's what they do for a lot less? So I specifically increased my capital outlay request $20,000 to save DPW having to come and plant. We've used them for those sorts of things all the time. They've been very diverted from their regular tasks for a number of our capital projects. And I think it's a practice we need to, in the future, look at very carefully when we decide, how can we save money on this project? I know, let's throw DPW at it.
That's Jack Bennett's line.
Pardon?
That's Jack Bennett's line. we'll do it internally.
Yeah. What? So it's a fair strategy, but you have to look at when to use it and when not.
There's consequences.
And we're trying to get away with that. And in another example, that landscaping amount, someone could say, you could landscape that for a lot less. Yes, we could. But I wanted to pay somebody to do it so that it didn't distract them from their core function.
And if I remember correctly, Alderman Barber, Kevin's vacancies were at the beginning of the summer, and it took a while to get them replaced. Alderman Taylor?
If we don't adjust the deductibles and the city's contribution in that, what is that dollar amount? If we leave everything, if we're saying, okay, you've had five people leave and we've had three people turn us down, we're going to keep everything healthcare-wise the same because we made that decision last year and, you know, we're going to live with that and let everybody else catch up to us. What's that dollar amount?
I would have to crunch some numbers for that.
And I would like those numbers when you crunch them.
The bulk of the savings that we get is on the premium side. So it's not going to be that $225,000, but I'd have to stop and look at that and make some assumptions, but we can try and have
that'd be helpful
for the meeting.
All right, thanks.
Who else? Mark?
Ben?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Let's do H1 vouchers. Is there a motion?
Oh, I heard that the meeting I missed. You guys took it out of order, and you took up licensing first. Unbelievable how things happen when I'm not around. Wow.
Is there a motion approving city vouchers ending dated September 12th in the amount of $1,541,643.60 and payroll dated September 13th in the amount of $379,617.39 in payments to various payroll deductions in the amount of $199,638.19 plus city matching payments and estimated payroll of September 27th, estimated $400,000, and estimated payroll deductions, that's $473,000 plus city matching payments, and approval to release payments to miscellaneous vendors in the amount of $78,114.20.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Who made that motion?
I did.
Andrew.
Oh.
No. Your voice sounds different.
Sounds higher today.
But it sounds like Dan.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Bye-bye. No no's, no absent, no abstention. Motion carries. Now, for I-1, Alderman Taylor, licenses.
Bunch of jerks. Walmart approved subject to compliance with state and city regulations. Petroski approved. Promo, hold for appearance, and the rest are approved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Go back to G12 on page 125. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to 19.851E? Deliberate upon a tax incremental district number 6, mixed-use, industrial, commercial, retail, single-family, residential, and open space uses project development. The tax incremental district 6 development agreement between the City of Franklin and Loomis and Ryan, Inc. The acknowledgement of development agreement by Strauss Investments, LLC, and the tax assessment agreement. Tax incremental district number 6 between the City of Franklin and Strauss Investments, LLC. Terms and status, the negotiation of provisions and terms, and the investing of public funds in relation thereto for competitive and bargaining reasons, and to re-enter open session in the same place thereafter to act on such matters as discussed therein as they deem appropriate.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor. He left the room or the meeting?
He left the room.
His stuff
left
the room.
So let's move on. He's more than 4 feet away.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are in closed session. For a moment. And we're back in open session.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.